message and song, and we just had a bunch of really good messages that all went together, didn't we? The love of Christ, who gave himself on the cross so that we could be his and he could be ours. What a marvelous, marvelous story to tell, and a great privilege we have. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Proverbs again. We didn't finish this chapter last time. So. Again, as I studied through this, this study and the study in Sunday morning are converging an awful lot right now. They don't always converge quite this much, but this morning especially we had thoughts about God's Word dwelling in our hearts richly. And we'll get to some of that here as well. We left off on at the 13th verse, and I'm going to read from verse 14 down to the end. So it's Proverbs chapter 4, and starting in verse 14. He says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." I'm going to stop here for a minute. I mentioned last time that I wasn't going to dwell on this passage about entering into the path of the wicked. I don't really want to dwell on it, but a couple of things came to my mind as I was going through this. Something that's in Scripture, I think it's pretty simple and straightforward, and I think we can all understand it, but it matters who we choose to run around with. Now, you may think, well, I'm just, you know, I'm preaching to the young people, but really it's for all of us. It's especially true for young people. It's especially important, the friends that they pick, and we prayed for our kids, you know, that they would have Christian friends that, you know, that love the Lord, and we've been very fortunate in that respect that they really have, for the most part, have friends that love the Lord. But it makes a difference, and I know that I've heard people say, well, you know, I just hang out with them, you know, sometimes and stuff, but it's okay that, you know, they're not believers, and they do all those other things, but I don't go there. Well, I think this one's pretty clear here. Verse 15 especially says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I think that's pretty simple. And Paul speaks to Timothy, and he says, flee from those things. So I think those are pretty simple and straightforward admonitions for us. It really does matter who we associate with in a very, you know, especially in a close manner. Obviously, we associate with all sorts of people in different ways, but especially those that we consider to be our friends and the people that we tend to spend time and our time in fellowship with. If we spend most of our time with those that are unbelievers, we're going to get dragged into that, the way they think and so on, all those things. Obviously, we would never be able to witness to anybody if we had nothing at all to do with them. But again, I think you understand what I'm talking about, forming really close friendships and spending a lot of time doing those kinds of things that they do. And the reason is because the path of the justice is a shining light. Now, again, I thought about this a lot, too. what does it mean? It says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. And I had two thoughts here. One is our path is a shining light because we have the light of God's word. And well, Jesus said he is the light of the world, and we have Jesus. So there's a light there. And that thought about shining more and more, you know, one of the things that I thought about is if you, the darker the room that you're in, the more bright the light seems to be that you have. I've told this before about going into a cave, you know, and they shut all the lights off on you, and it's extremely dark in there. You get back in far enough, it's extremely dark. You can't see your hand in front of your face. We did this one time, and this was right about the time when a lot of people were getting the watches that had the little glow thing. I don't know if you remember the little kind of blue glowing background on it. There's a couple of people that had those. They were made to put them in their pockets because that seemed like a humongous light. I mean, it was just, you walk out of there in the sun and that doesn't seem like any light at all. But in that darkness, it seemed, and so the light, it's not that the light is getting brighter. Jesus is the light. He's not changing. But the light should be looking brighter as we see the around us, the darkness increasing. And for those that are in the darkness, the light should be shining brighter and brighter to them. We should be showing them the light of the right way. The path of the just is as the shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And there's coming a day, of course, when all this darkness will be done away with. And then will be that perfect light, the light of the glory of our Lord. And in the meantime, we shine a light to others as we go through this life. Our path, the way that we take, the way that we live our lives should be a light unto those that are seeing nothing but darkness around them. We have a great privilege and a great responsibility as well in this case to shine our light. Notice what it says in verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. In other words, it's so dark on their path, they don't even know what they're stumbling at. I always think about these kinds of things, but you know, if you're walking along in the day and you stumble on something, well, it's almost your own fault because you should have been paying attention. You had light to see it. You weren't watching. I tell my kids this all the time because they seem to never look where they were going, but and they would stumble on things. In the darkness, it's a little different because you can't see. And, you know, unbelieving man is walking in darkness. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. We have a privilege, again, and I say, to shine the light. We walk in light. We need not be stumbling over things as those that walk in darkness do. I've always thought it was strange, people that don't like to turn on lights. This is just me. I do this and it's a bad thing, but I criticize movies when I watch them. And that's one of my big criticisms of movies is, you know, they know something bad's getting ready to happen. They walk into a dark room and they don't turn on the light. Why do you not turn on the light? But, you know, I say that and then I think about some of God's people who have light and they're walking around without it. We have a great privilege. Light of the Word of God. We had that this morning, the importance of the Word of God in our lives to rule and to control our lives. We have the light of the Word of God. We should make use of it. It would be silly to carry around a really nice flashlight and then stumble over stuff in the dark just because you don't want to use it. But that's the way a lot of God's people are. They have the Word of God, and I guess they, you know, stick it in the pocket and just stumble around in the dark. That's too bad. Because this light, it doesn't, you don't have to worry about it going out. You don't have to worry about it wearing down like you might maybe a flashlight with batteries, for example. But it's always there, and it's always available to us. We need not walk in darkness and stumble. Verse 20, my son, attend to, this is that same thought again that we had at the beginning of the chapter. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. And again, as I go through Proverbs, I notice this, and I think it's important. He repeats this continuously. And I think it's important for us to hear it over and over again, a reminder, an encouragement to pay attention, not just hear with the ears, if you will, but to really pay attention and to take in. Tend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And this just really goes so well with what we had this morning from Colossians. Let the word dwell in our hearts richly, abundantly. Let them not depart from thine eyes. The idea here, the thought here is about continuously having them before us. And to me, this, really it speaks about having time to spend studying God's word. If we're not studying God's word, we're not taking it in. and then keep them in the midst of thine heart. Again, that really is that part about dwelling richly. We talked about that this morning, the word taking root in our hearts and really being there. That thought about dwelling in Colossians is a thought about a more of a permanence. And we looked at the parable in Luke 8 of the sower and the seed, and we found that there were different grounds that the seed fell on, and in some cases the cares and the pleasures and the things of the world came along and choked it out, but there were those that had the good ground, that is, the seed took good root and it produced fruit. And that thought about the seed taking good root in there, that again, the thought about permanence, not just a passing knowledge or a passing just hearing the word and letting it pass on by. And then in verse 22, he comes back to this thought we've had before, which is, they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. I don't know if I read this today or I heard it, or I don't know where it came to me. Somebody said it, or I heard it or read it or something about, and I mentioned this morning something about eating. You know, Job said, I've esteemed his words more than my necessary food. And thinking about eating, if you just eat once in a great while and kind of at random and stuff, you're gonna get weak, and you're gonna have problems with your health. This, you know, food, especially nutritious food, by the way, so not just junk food, which the world has, but nutritious food is important for our bodies. It's part of life. We need it to sustain ourselves. We need God's word. It is health. It is health to all their flesh. It is. It's just as Job said it, more than our necessary food. I think that we have to have that attitude of God's word is health. I do know where I read that now. I was reading David's website, and he has a whole little thing on there about why they have meeting several times a week and how important it is for God's people to get together. And he said, you wouldn't just eat a couple of times a week, would you? And I thought that was kind of a good analogy. We need to eat more often. And what about God's word? How important is that? Well, it's very important. It should be. It's life and it's health. We want to be spiritually healthy. Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's really a lot to think about in this verse. The word keep, it means to guard. And I have a note in my margin that says to keep above all keeping. To keep above all keeping, that thought of all diligence. In other words, it's the most important thing to keep, to guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Jesus made a comment when he was on this earth about from the abundance of the heart man speaketh. He says, not that which goes into the man that defiles, but that which cometh out. It comes out of the heart. What's in our heart determines what comes out from us. And if, again, thinking again along the lines of the word of God being in our heart, how important that is. God is very clear about the need for his word to be in our heart. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to read something in Jeremiah. I think you know this, but Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. You know, the heart of man is wicked, deceitful. God gives us a new heart. We talked about this before. We have that life of Christ. He gives us a new heart and takes away the stony one. And Tom had that in his devotion not too long ago with the heart of stone up there. Takes that stony one out, puts a a real one in there. Well, the heart of man is deceitful, but God changes our heart. And the way that he works in our heart is by his word. His Holy Spirit uses the word to work in our hearts. If we're not taking in God's word, he doesn't have anything to work with. If we think that somehow, we can read these books that people write about things and maybe read some philosophy and stuff, and that will help us, it will not. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to work in our hearts. That's the method. There aren't other methods. And so we need to take in the Word, and of course we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work that in our hearts. It's important to guard our heart because that's where the enemy attacks us. To put things in our hearts that are contrary to the Word of God, to put things in our hearts that are not pleasing to our Lord. And the only way to counter that, I said it already, but there's only one way to counter that, and that is to take in God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to change it. Out of it are the issues of life. Every important thing in our life in some way is affected by what's in our heart. What is it that's in our heart? What is inside us? When you hear people speak, you can often tell what's in their heart. Just listen to them for a little while, because you'll understand the things that come out of there. It's not terribly difficult to figure out what is in a person's heart when they start speaking, especially if you listen to them very long. We had this morning. I'm going to turn real quick back to Colossians just because I want to read it, I guess. I'm afraid I'm going to probably quote it incorrectly if I don't read it. Colossians 3:17, he says, "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." And we talked about that this morning, the things that we do and the things that we say. See, all of those things, they come from the heart. They are out of our heart. And so it's very important that we guard our heart. And by guarding, I think you understand what that means, to keep out things that don't belong there. And again, the only way we're going to do that is with God's word. We need desperately to take in God's word. I mentioned it this morning, and I'll mention it again, but it's very clear to me. God uses the word that we take in to speak to us and to check us sometimes, our attitude, about different things as they come along. But if we're not taking God's word in, then we will go unchecked about those things. So we need desperately to be taking in God's word, not just a couple times a week, but every day we need God's word. It's so abundant. I was thinking about this. I know Jack and Kathy on their phones, they have a little app that gives them a verse every day. Kathy has the same, I guess it's the same app. It gives her a verse every day. And in case I forget, she'll call me at work and remind me what the verse is for the day. Because sometimes she knows I get a little busy and forget to go read that. But we just have such an abundance of the Word of God. Something that will pop up and remind you in case you're bad about remembering things. It will pop up and remind you and give you something. I know we have devotion books that we use at home as well. Daily devotion things to go through. There's just so much available to us, and what a shame, And we're guilty of this at times because you get really busy in the day and that devotion just kind of seems to fall by the wayside sometimes. And I always think about, it only takes to go through that devotion, it only takes just a few minutes. It's not very long. And yet we can, the enemy will rob us of that opportunity. And I'm thankful to have a spouse who helps me, and we help each other to remember those things and to do them. It's important. It doesn't take a lot of time to spend. It's better to spend as much time as you can, but it doesn't take a lot of time to spend some time in God's Word. It's so available to us today. Okay, back in our chapter in verse. Did I cover everything I wanted to cover there? I think I did. Verse 24, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Again, we come to this. See, this is following that same thought about the keeping of the heart. Again, why? Because out of the heart come these things that come out of our mouth, right? And a froward mouth, mouth that speaks evil things and perverse lips. This isn't just about foul language. That's one of my pet peeve things, I guess. It's so unnecessary. And there's a number of people, several people that I work with, the man that sits right next to me, I don't think he even realizes he's doing it. It's just part of him, what he does. And he just can't seem to speak anything without using some foul language. But this is not just about foul language. It's important, by the way. We shouldn't be using foul language. It's not necessary. But this is really about the general speech that comes out of our mouth. How do we talk about other people? What's our speech about? What are we, you know, are we encouraging people and lifting people up? Or are we tearing people down and dragging people down? Those kinds of things as well. The words that come out of our mouth, they indicate what's in our heart, and so that again, that this goes really close with that thought about guarding the heart. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. We don't need to have those things come out of our mouth. James has a whole discourse on the tongue and the difficulty of the tongue, but he also we understand from that there is a control for the tongue. It's called the Holy Spirit. And that's the control that we need for our tongue is the Holy Spirit. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. The thought about the eyes are considered the entry into your soul in a sense, because through our eyes and as well as our ears, but through our eyes we take in so much, right? We just take in so much from our eyes. And so they're very important to us. And this really goes off to the spiritual realm. See, thinking about our spiritual eyes. What are we letting our spiritual eyes do and take in? Again, it just takes us back to the same thing that we've been saying, which is the Word of God, how important it is. We take in the Word of God. That's not just with our natural eyes. We do that as well, obviously, but with our spiritual eyes. And the enemy will get us with our eyes on all sorts of things. You know, on the horse, they put those blinders on them. You know why they do that? It's to keep that horse from looking around and seeing things all around that might spook him or something. What you want the horse to see is the path in front of him that you want him to go on. And spiritually, we need to be like that. We need to have those blinders on that keep us focused on the path. We had such a good thought about being focused earlier, but we need to be focused on him. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. There's a lot in God's word about those that are kind of blown to and fro, right? Paul speaks about it and Peter speaks about it, but blown to and fro. In Kansas, we kind of understand that, don't we? Walked out the other day, and it was so windy, it almost knocked me down. It's almost hard to walk around in that wind. Well, we need to have our feet set in the path and established there. And again, the thought about being established, again, goes to that real thought about permanence. We're on this path, and we're on this path to stay. Let all thy ways be established. God wants to establish our feet in the way that he wants us to go. That's what he wants to do. We need but to let him. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. The thought here is about considering it, right? And so think about, where are you going? What is your choice of path? The choice is really up to us. Do we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in the path that we should be going in? Or do we choose to take our own path? And almost worse than that is kind of on and off of the path. A lot of God's people want to put one foot on the path and one foot off and see if that works for them. That doesn't work very well. That's not being established. We certainly want God to establish our feet, to set us in the path that he wants us to go and to keep us there. In Psalm 37, verse 23, you don't need to turn if you don't want to, but Psalms 37, 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And this is very important that we recognize that God is the one that should be ordering our steps. We should be allowing him to lead us in the way that we need to go, and recognize that he's the only one that knows the path, and so we should follow him. Also, Psalm 40 and verse 2 is a thought about being established, and that is, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." See, and I understand this one really well for two reasons. One is, we have a lot of clay where we live now, but in Paraguay, we had the worst clay ever. They may have similar stuff down in Oklahoma, but where Brother Cecil Royalty especially was pastor, we stayed there for some time, and it would rain, and the streets on both, all around the church area, the streets were dirt. Well, they were clay. And it would rain, and that stuff was so terrible. You would walk out there, and when you came back, you would have 2 or 3 inches of clay stuck to the bottom of your shoes, and they weighed about 3 times what they were supposed to. And all you could do was come in and scrape that stuff off. Well, I know about the miry clay. It grabs and it sticks to you. Well, aren't you glad that he has brought us out of the miry clay and set us on the rock? See, when you walk on the rocks, there's no mud there. Nothing to cling to your feet and hold you back. It also reminds me of, I'll just tell this little story and I'll probably finish here, but we were out at my cousin's who lives in southeast Kansas down here, and it had been really rainy that year around 4th of July. And two of my smarter cousins had four-wheel drive trucks and decided they wanted to go four-wheeling. So my cousin lives down there. He's a farmer. He said, "Well, you can go out in that field over there." He said, "I just plowed it recently, and there's nothing there, so you can go four-wheel out there." And I'm here to tell you that four-wheeling in a recently plowed field is a really, really bad idea. Okay? So before long, they were stuck all the way up to their bottom of their truck. And so we had to go take the four-wheel drive big tractor and try to pull them out. And it came to me to carry the big cable over to the truck and hook it on. And I was wearing boots. The problem is that when you step in mud this deep with boots on, the mud sucks the boot right off of your foot. And that's really bad stuff. So you get mired. It's why it's called miry clay. You get mired down in it, and you can't move. God has taken us out of the miry clay. That's the world. That's the things of the world. And God has taken us out of that. Why would we go back there? We should not intentionally want to go back to that miry clay. Our last verse, 27, says, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." This is a key to us to walking with the Lord, is to walk straight on with him. That's part of the thought, by the way, and let thine eyes look right on. To follow him and walk straight on with him. There's a lot of things to distract us on the left and the right, and to cause us to want to deviate from the path here and there. And again, I think the blinders that we have, that we need on our eyes, again, those also are the Word of God. It is the Word of God that keeps us from being distracted by this thing and that thing and another thing. As the Holy Spirit uses this Word in our lives, he helps our eyes stay focused on the Lord that is in front of us. instead of turning to the left or to the right. God wants to lead us in a good path. It's a path that is shining, and it shines more and more into the perfect day. It's our privilege to walk in that path. It's a good path. It's not muddy. It's not miry. It's a good path. Nice and solid. And it's a good path to be on. There's a lot of stuff off of the path that's not good. And so many people have to find that out the hard way by trying it out. We want to let God lead us every day of our life. Lead us in the path that he has before us. And if we're going to do that, then we need to be taking in God's word. We need to be studying. We need to be allowing him to work the word in our lives by his Holy Spirit. Any questions or comments? And I'm going to quit. Yes. Yes, so important, isn't it? There's a reason for that. Yes. God is so good to remind us. As I read through this and I keep seeing these things where he says, attend to my words, incline to my sayings, and he says that again and again. And I think, you know, how we need to be reminded of these things. We just need to be reminded again and again. And God's so good to do that if we'll just let him.
Verse 15, you read, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass it away.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of reminds me of 2 Corinthians 6:14.
Yes.
Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
That's right.
For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?
Yes.
It's, you know, there is so much evil in the world, and if you're in the world, you don't really see it because you're just you say, well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But when you take in God's word and you say and you believe in his word, you know it's the truth. You know, there's a lot of distractions, but the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
All the crooked little roads you have to sometimes go down, but you don't look left or you don't look right. You stay focused and you do keep your eye upon the prize, which is Christ. And that's our goal, is to win Christ and stay on that path of righteousness that he's provided for us.
Yes.
I was thinking also about the miry clay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 40 verse 2.
And I was thinking also when I lived back in Colorado, we had an area we grew up in, and I grew up in, had clay.
Mm-hmm.
Had dark clay, and then we had some big rocks. Well, when we come in from the wall around the mud down the barn, we'd walk through the rocks and scrape all the mud out of the feet. And the rocks were soft.
Yes.
The mud just slide around. You couldn't climb up the hill to the house. I mean, because you just
kept sliding. Yeah.
So we had a little path that drove through these rocks. I'd scrape off the mud off the rocks, and then we'd know way up into the house. You
know? Yes.
And then when I go back the next day down that same path, I'd knock off all that dry mud. So I'd have more area. But I was thinking of that instead of on a rock.
Yes.
And a rock is so solid for us.
That's right.
And our footing, our foundation, of course, is Christ.
Rock Christ Jesus, yes.